woke up this morning and I started my day. God's mercy was with me all of the way. His goodness stayed close by to meet all my needs. My Lord is taking good care of me. Church where I worship, the Bible I read. My Lord is taking good care of me. I'm never forsaken, I'm never alone. One day I'm moving to my brand new home. I'm blessed beyond measure, just look close, you'll see. My Lord is taking good care of me. Tempting and he brings up my past, I tell him I'm forgiven and it's buried at last. The blood shed on Calvary now speaks for me. My Lord is taking good care of me. I'm never forsaken, I'm never alone. One day I'm moving to my brand new home. I'm blessed beyond measure, just look close, you'll see.
Thank you very much. For now, we're going to stay in the book of 1 Corinthians. We were in 2 Corinthians this morning. Go to 1 chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 in your Bible. I'm going to begin reading in just a moment or two when you get there in verse number 6 tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and begin reading with verse number 6. As soon as you get there, we'll let you stand, take a moment to find it, and we will stand together if you are able to do so in honor of God's Word. Let's do that now. Follow along and begin reading in verse number 6. Paul wrote, "Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted." Talking about the children of Israel. "Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, fell in one day, 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer." And I want to speak tonight on the subject, look what made the list. Look what made the list. Let's pray. Father, we come to you tonight. We are thankful for the way you have taken care of us. What a good song, what a good truth. And God, we ask that you come tonight, take care of us in this service with your power, your unction, your liberty to preach, to fellowship, to enjoy your word together. And Lord, we give you our hearts. Pray that you'll do what work needs to be done tonight for each one of us. And we'll thank you for it in Christ's name and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. It's interesting to read in God's word where certain sins are listed. You find one that makes you stop and ask, why is that sin listed here? I think of 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, where that begins with the list of the describing the sins that are in the perilous times. This know also, in the last day, perilous times shall come. And it's a pretty long list of what you and I would call strong sins. And right there in the middle of that list, we find unthankfulness. And you stop and you think to yourself, how did that get lumped in with all these other really bad sins? Now, the same question could be asked in this passage. You understand in this text, Paul is using the children of Israel as an example for the people in the church at Corinth. Paul talks about their deliverance through the Red Sea. He talks about how God provided for them. Then you come to verse number 5. It says, but with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown or they were overcome by certain sins in the wilderness, certain lusts in the wilderness. And it says in verse number 6, now these incidents, these things were our examples, so these incidents that are listed here were recorded for our example, that we should not fall into the same lust for evil things. And then God gives a list of 4 incidents. In verse number 7, he talks about idolatry. Neither be ye idolaters. Now, this is a reference to Exodus 32. Remember the story? Moses on top of the mount. He's up there 40 days. The golden calf. The music they're listening to sounds like the sounds of battle. They gorge their physical appetites by eating and drinking and playing around. And you can only wonder what that means when the Bible also says that they were naked and God was displeased. 3,000 men died. 3,000. So he says, don't be guilty of idolatry. Then in verse number 8, he talks about neither let us commit fornication. Now, this is when the children of Israel committed fornication with the daughters of Moab people. They were not supposed to learn the ways of the heathen. And here they were being intimate with them. 23,000 to 24,000 people died. You don't want to know? You want to know how God feels about immorality? It's a pretty good idea right there. He hates it. So we're not supposed to fall into the sin of fornication. Then verse number 9, he talks about tempting Christ or tempting God. Neither let us tempt Christ. This is when they put themselves in a bad situation and then they blamed God for their bad situation. In Numbers 21, they asked this question. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? We don't have any meat. We don't have any water. We hate this manna. People, God brought them out of Egypt to Kadesh Barnea, which was on the border of the promised land. And then he told them to go in. They refused. They put themselves in a bad situation that God had nothing to do with. And then they blamed him for their troubles. And you know what? It displeased God. So much so that he sent fiery serpents among them. Remember the story of the brass serpent on the brazen pole? And look at the serpent lip. This is what this is talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 9. So he said, don't fall into the sin of tempting God, tempting Christ, putting yourself in a bad situation and then blaming God for it. And then in verse number 10, look what makes the list. Neither murmur ye. Wow. Murmuring, complaining, makes the same list as idolatry and immorality and blaming God? Yes, folks, murmuring made the list of sins that displeased God so much that many of the people who were guilty of it died. Just like people died for being guilty of the sin of idolatry. Just like people died for being guilty of the sin of fornication. Just like people died for the sin of tempting God. People died because of murmuring. That's a little bit surprising, isn't it? Really. You know, murmuring and complaining are definitely similar in nature, but both words are used in Scripture, and sometimes they're not interchangeable. But murmuring has one significant definition that complaining doesn't have. The definition of murmuring includes the act of grumbling in a low tone of voice. Kind of speaking under the breath. To utter complaints in a low, half-articulated voice. Expressing sullen discontent. You won't find those definitions for complaining, but you will about murmuring. And you get the picture. And people, God got fed up with it. How many parents have said to their children, hush. I'm tired of your complaining. I don't want to hear it anymore. I guess if we get to that place, God evidently gets there as well. Now here's the thing. Why murmur in a low tone of voice? Why murmur behind the back so few can hear it, right? So it's low spoken behind the back, or maybe not even articulated verbally. Maybe it just rolls around in our hearts and minds. But you know what, folks? The honest truth is God can hear it as plain as day. Whether we articulate it verbally or just let it roll around in our minds and hearts, God can hear it. And after idolatry, and after fornication, and after tempting Christ, look what makes the list. Murmuring. Neither murmur ye. And can I say, that's more than directed to the church at Corinth. That's preserved, recorded for me. And that's preserved and recorded for you. Don't murmur ye. There are three basic gripes the Israelites had in the wilderness that caused them to murmur. You can look this up yourself in the book of Exodus and Numbers and so forth. But let me give them to you tonight. Number one, they murmured because of God's provision. They murmured because of God's provision. This you'll find in Exodus chapter 16 and 17. They murmured about a lack of water and a lack of food. The food problem was because they were comparing it. They were comparing what they were eating in the wilderness to what they had before in the land of Egypt. So here it is. There is an interruption in their routine of provision. They had worked in Egypt. They were beaten for not pleasing their bosses. But in Egypt, they had food and water to the full. When they got out in the wilderness, things were interrupted. And you know, church, the truth of the matter is, it would be pretty easy for me and you to complain right now as Americans. As Americans, we are experiencing an interruption to our routine of provision. We are not used to only a percentage of capacity being seated at a restaurant. We are not used to shelves at the stores being half empty or out of stock of certain items that we've never been short of. We are not used to being forced to wear a mask to simply go in a store. We are not used to normal items being on back order because they are in short supply. Somebody was telling me, you know, we have some money from the school. It's a fundraiser set aside, and we were planning to do the floors in the school building and the downstairs floors and the foyer theirs, the two foyers in the hallway this summer. Luke Howell's company was going to come in and epoxy all that and make it real nice. But with the COVID and us meeting here for church, we can't do that. So we thought, well, we'd like to put a picnic pavilion back here. And we thought about taking the school fundraising money, and that'd be a great thing for the school to have a nice picnic pavilion. Do you know that you can't buy treated lumber right now? And Jack McDonald was telling me the other day, I forget what he said, what size board this was, but something that is normally about $6 is now $30. You can't buy treated lumber. They said that pulling to Menards or Lowe's to get treated lumber, they take it right off the semi-truck and put it into the trucks of customers. It's going that fast. You can't get it. And we're not used to that. And the truth of the matter is, we're not used to disruptions to the life that we have come to take for granted. And if we're not careful, it's easy to start murmuring, complaining. But people, be certain that murmuring can be heard by God. And after a while, God gets fed up with it. And can I remind us tonight what Paul said in one of the two Timothys? He said, having food and raiment, therewith let us be content. Food and clothing. Food and clothing. Well, I'm not happy because I can't get a table at my favorite restaurant, or there's limits on things that I'm trying to buy that I've never had limits. Do you have clothes to wear? Do you have food, some kind of food to eat? Be thankful. Be grateful. Don't fall into the sin that made the list with idolatry and fornication and tempting God. He said, those are serious things. So is murmuring. Evidently. Falls in the same list. So we got to be careful. If things around the house, if things at work aren't as routine as they used to be, remember that murmuring gets God in a displeased mode. Displeased. And I'm not preaching at you tonight. I'm preaching to us. Because it's very tempting for me to murmur right as much as quickly as anybody else. But that sin made the list of ones that were very what God considered displeasing. They murmured about God's provision. Number two, I want you to stay with me on this one. They murmured about God's possession. God's possession. You find this in Numbers chapter 14. You can write it down. They murmured, okay? In Numbers 14, this has to do with the Israelites refusing to enter the promised land. Okay? Now, I mentioned that a little bit ago. Kadesh Barnea, 12 men went to spy on Canaan. 10 were bad and 2 were good. So the 10 men come back with and gave what God called an evil report. Oh, no, we can't go in over there. There are giants in the land. And we look like grasshoppers compared to those giants over there. And there's no way we can take this. And Caleb and Joshua tried to still the people. Said, hey, come on. We can take them. It's God's will. And the truth of the matter is, what looks like giants to us looks like grasshoppers in God's sight. He can take care of those giants. Look at these grapes. Look at the milk and the honey that flows over there. But remember what they said? They said, no. We're not going in. It's too hard. It's too much. We are not going. And then they started murmuring. And they said, this is terrible. Whose plan was this? We should have stayed in Egypt. We don't want the promised land. We want Egypt. And if we can't go back, then we'll just die right here. Murmuring. About God's possession. Now listen very carefully. What was the promised land for the children of Israel? It was God's will for them. People, God did not bring them out of Egypt to wander in the wilderness. Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 6 said, He brought us out that He might bring us in. That was the will of God. That was the plan of God. This wandering around from place to place with hardly any food and sometimes bitter water. It wasn't God's plan. It wasn't God's fault. And that's what they were griping about. God's plan was for them to go in. Take possession. Get the land. Take hold of it. Now, I will say this. God's plan. It's almost what I preached about, last Sunday morning. God's will and God's plan for every saved person is to cross over, if you will, into the mature, victorious, full Christian life. That's God's plan. For every saved person. But you know what that involves, church? That involves some self-denial. That involves some cross-bearing. Have we forgotten that Jesus said, take up your cross? I'm going to tell you something, people. The cross is not a picture of entertainment. And the cross is not a symbol of ease. The cross is a symbol of suffering. And the cross is a symbol of death. And to enter into the victorious, full Christian life, it takes a measure of dedication. It takes a measure of commitment. It takes taking up our cross and being willing to be made fun of, to become a reproach for Christ's sake, if need be. That's exactly what it means. But you know what? You get in the promised land. Oh, the promised land. Man, that's a blessed life. There's lots of room in the promised land. There's lots of room to enjoy the Christian life when you cross over into that dedicated, mature, full, following Christ life. The promised land had lots of room, but there were boundaries to the promised land. And the discipled life of following God, it's a full life. It's really enjoyable. Lots of room to enjoy things, but there are boundaries. Be careful not to murmur about the boundaries. be careful not to speak in a low-toned, inarticulate voice about restrictions that God has placed on us. The only reason God, look, these restrictions that our government has tried to place on us is meant to absolutely control us. God puts restrictions in our life to help us enjoy life to the fullest. That's what He does. And in some ways, now listen to this. In some ways, the children of Israel, they wanted their freedom from bondage, but boy, they wanted to hang on to some of the Egyptian ways that they had lived in previously. God's people want to be saved, but at the same time, they want to listen to the music of Egypt. They want to engage in the morals of Egypt. They want to live after the manner of the Egyptians. And God told them they were a peculiar people. They were a distinct people. God didn't want any of the music, morals, or manners of Egypt brought into the promised land. And you know what He wants for every child of God? He wants every one of us to cross over into the dedicated, committed, fully surrendered Christian life. And when we get there, there's lots of room to enjoy what He has for us. But there are boundaries. Don't murmur about the boundaries. God doesn't want the music, the morals, or the manners of the world brought into the full Christian life. The truth of the matter is, it won't be. It can't be. But boy, I'm going to tell you what. You know, look, the other day I filled out an application online for something, to sign up for this. And it got to gender. I think it was one of the airlines. I was trying to book a flight, and I was trying to get an account with them. And so it came to gender. And I'm looking at it. It says male, female, undisclosed, undecided. And it's one of those things where, you know, yeah, you chuckle. And at the same time, I'm grieved. How in God's name did we ever get to the place in a civilized country where when you go to select a gender, you could choose undecided? And Christian people, But I'm going to tell you, part of Christians are to blame. Because we've murmured and complained and griped about gender distinction. That's the truth. Some churches, some pastors, you want to see murmuring? Go to the internet and read the chat room comments about Baptist churches and Baptist schools that have standards, have requirements, expect this or expect that. And online, it's not so low voiced. But what's online doesn't bother me. What bothers me is when people, dedication, committed, and yet murmuring, complaining about the distinction that we try to hold as a church between male and female so that we don't have the problem of being undecided. We've blended the genders. 1 Corinthians talks about the length of hair on a man and a woman is different. And I get so weary, you know, what's short and what's long. Look, every person in this room has a distinct hairline. Every one of us. Male and female. Glenda Payne sitting down here, I can see her hairline from her forehead. It's where mine is. And that hairline probably follows down along her ears like this and her neck like this. But she's a woman. Because she's a woman, she grows her hair long. Past her hairline. I'm a man. I keep my hair short. I keep it at my distinct hairline. Why is that so hard to understand? And why is that something to fuss about? And why would a woman want to look like Ellen DeGeneres? She's undecided. She's mutant. Oh, what she is. I've never seen her show. I wouldn't be caught dead watching her show. But I've seen pictures of it. not the show. It, her, whatever it is. Universal. Universally. You know what's sad for us right now? Is, look, I think it's only reasonable and fair that the missionaries we support live by the same standards that our Sunday school teachers do. I think that's only reasonable. It's only reasonable. And so, you know, if you don't have to meet dress standards if you're not going to teach Sunday school, come to church here, that's fine. But if you're going to teach Sunday school with the Bible and have a ministry where you're up front of a class or anything with the Bible, you're going to have to meet certain standards. And I don't think that's unreasonable. And honestly, and some of the staff, I've asked some of the ladies in the office, just, you know, don't go looking. But folks, we don't have to go looking. The pictures come to us. And the pictures come to us of missionaries that we support on the foreign field somewhere who are throwing in the towel on this thing. Well, just let it go. I'm not letting it go. I'm not letting it go. If I let that go, where do we go next? Not letting it go. If you're going to, I've had to write, email, and then talk to on the telephone. Someone say, look, brother, here's the bottom line. I'm not trying to dictate your life or exercise control on your life. But ladies and men who teach in our Sunday school classes maintain a certain commitment to dress standards. And I think it's only reasonable that our missionaries that we support do the same. I think it's only reasonable. And, you know, I hear all the arguments. I hear all the arguments. Well, you know, they're not men's pants. They're women's pants. So I'm not wearing a man's apparel. I'm wearing pants made for women. Okay. We'll go there. So next Sunday, when I come to this platform in a skirt made for a man, you're going to be okay. That's fair. That's fair. That's fair. And if I come here in a skirt next Sunday, don't hold your breath. In a skirt made for a man, because they make men's skirts just like they make women's pants. And that's the argument now. I'm not wearing man's apparel. All right, good. See you next Sunday with my man skirt. Now, you guys that think I'm kidding, go look it up. Just a few years ago, I mean the last 3 or 4 years, number one item, at the New York City fashion show, walking down the red carpet, was skirts made for men. 31 varieties of men's skirts. A man can't wear a skirt made for a woman. We can't do that. We're not shaped like women. I'm telling you, folks, you complain about the undecided, but nobody's willing to be distinct. I shouldn't say nobody. Some aren't. And by the way, this goes back to what I talked about last Sunday night. Parents, you better send your kids to places that reinforce what you've taught them. Now, y'all get quiet. There's a part of percentage of you that are quiet right now. You're upset. That's okay. It's not a popularity contest. But I'm not changing this. Not changing it. The doors will be open. People will be welcome. But this is going to stay what it's always stayed. And look, you know what? If you can't handle it, don't murmur. Don't murmur. Because murmuring gets God in a very unpleasant mood. Made the list. Look what made the list. You have no argument. You have no argument. You can't match what I just gave you. You can't. Distinctly female, distinctly male. That's how God made it. That's part of entering into that full dedicated, committed. You say, well, yeah, well, I know some people that wear dresses to keep their hair short, and they're gossip. Hey, I'm not excusing gossip. I'm not excusing anything. But I'm not going to let that go either. Amen and amen and amen. Now, the only problem with the children of Israel refusing to go in is they died in the wilderness. They died. How many times, how many people, Brother Mick or Brother Mike, Brother Allen, I can't remember who it was, but in a staff meeting not too long ago, we were talking about a person, and nobody in the room here, obviously, but we were talking about a person who got saved and started growing and came to a crossing point that came to the border of dedication and commitment, and then they backed off. And when that happens, you know what takes place? It seems like they never moved forward spiritually again. That's where they sit. I'm telling you, folks, don't murmur about God's possession. God wants us to be a happy, blessed, dedicated, committed, full Christian life. Enjoy it. But there are some boundaries. Don't make the mistake of not crossing in. And once you get there, don't murmur about the boundaries. Just live inside of them and enjoy what God wants you to enjoy. They murmured against God's provision. They murmured against God's possession. Number three, they murmured against God's power. And when I use the word power, I'm talking about authority. Authority. My voice is slipping. I don't do well continually at air conditioning. So listen carefully. This is in Numbers 16. Exodus 15, 16 and 17, Numbers 14, Numbers 16. You're going to find where they murmured. They murmured. They murmured against the authority, Moses and Aaron. Korah and his group came. You take too much on you. You men are power hungry. You men are possessive. Folks, do you know what Aaron and Moses were? They were only doing their best to lead 2 to 3 million people through a wilderness. That's all. Moses and Aaron were human. They erred. Aaron erred at Mount Sinai. Moses erred at the rock in the wilderness of Zin. But they were God's leaders. Moses didn't seek that position. When God sent him to do that, he argued with God, said, I can't do that. And God said, you're going to do it. And God put Moses in that position. And God puts people in positions of authority. Teenagers, be careful about murmuring against your parents. You say, you know what? I don't smoke, drink, cuss, or chew, or run with those who do. But I still just can't seem to get any traction in my Christian life. Are you murmuring? Are you speaking under your breath against your parents? Are you? Be careful about that. Yeah, my dad too, and me as a dad, and all of us dads. Because there never has been a perfect one. Never will be. Don't murmur against your parents. Wives, be careful about murmuring against your husbands. You can have everything in order, ladies. Everything, even what I just preached about. You murmur against your husband. I mean, look at what made the list. Idolatry, fornication, tempting God. Oh, murmuring. Displease God. Be careful about murmuring against your husbands. Be careful about that. So my husband, yeah, I know there's not a perfect husband anywhere. Never has been one. But God put that man in the marriage, in the home, to be the authority. This world doesn't recognize that, but this book does. Congregations, be careful about murmuring against your pastors, your staff. Bus workers, be careful about murmuring against your bus director. Alan's not going to be a perfect bus director, never has been one. I remember when I was in Bible college, one of the summers that I stayed up there through the summer. I stayed every summer because I had a good job and I wanted to finish school and was paying the bills. And sure, I wanted to go home, but I wasn't promised a good job when I got back. So I stayed in the summer through the summer, and I took some summer school classes and stayed and worked in the bus ministry. And one of the well-known bus ministry people of the college, if I called his name, some of you folks that were there way back then would remember this person. And he and I roomed together just that summer. And Brother Ray Young took over for Brother Kenniston. And I liked Denny Kenniston. I liked him a lot. I can still see him in that long trench coat marching up Sibley Street, you know. Taking the number. How many did you have on your bus? Like a little Hitler. I mean, just walking up there. But I liked him. We got to visit together. He's a good guy. But he got all messed up on sinless perfection. All messed up on it. Started teaching classes in the college building in the afternoons on becoming sinlessly perfect. Until the administration found out about it. That was interesting. So then he was gone. And Brother Young became the bus director. And I didn't know Ray Young real well. And he made some changes. Guys make changes when they come in. And this well-known man in the bus ministry, I think that was between my freshman and sophomore, might have been between my sophomore and junior year. And boy, oh boy, probably sophomore and junior year. And we got to murmuring and complaining. And we cut and diced Ray Young and his decisions. And we cut those to pieces. Now, I was the greatest bus captain at First Baptist Church in Hammond, but we had a good bus route for 3 years in a Polish area. A few Puerto Ricans mixed in, a few Mexicans, a few blacks. We had interesting times on the bus. We had a good ministry. And it got to the place where the bus was averaging 60 per Sunday, year-round, 52 weeks out of the year. And that thing started. And two Sundays in a row, I had eight. Drive the bus up to Chicago, take it around the route, pick up eight kids. I got alone in my room and I started praying for the bus ministry. I said, Lord, what's going on for the bus route? I said, Lord, what's going on? What's happening here? And as clear as I'm speaking to you, God spoke to my heart. I hear what you're saying. I hear. So I made an appointment with Ray Young and went to his office and I sat down and I didn't throw the other person under the bus. I wasn't there to talk about the other person. I was there to talk about me. I said, I'm sorry. I've been critical, complaining, murmuring behind your back. I didn't appreciate some of the changes you made. But I am asking you to forgive me. I've asked God to forgive me, and I'm stopping now. And he said, okay. We prayed together. Now, you say what you want to say. Well, that's just coincidence. Let's see. Idolatry, fornication, tempting Christ, murmuring. And one of the times the children of Israel murmured was against Moses. And y'all this time. By the way, that's when God cracked the earth open. Swallowed up, 250 of them? You talk about a s'more. Mercy. Whoa. Be careful about murmuring against your administrator. There's not going to be a perfect administrator. But I'm going to tell you something. In the years that this man has been heading over this school, it has been nothing but a continual climb of experience and leadership, and he is doing a tremendous job right now. Be careful about murmuring against your youth director. It made the list. To me, it doesn't seem like idolatry and fornication and tempting, but it made the list. Be careful about murmuring against your youth director. Be careful about murmuring against your pastor. I don't have to tell you I'm not perfect. I've made dumb calls. And I'm going to make more dumb calls. But be careful. I told you this before. This person's in heaven now. Some years ago, a man, maybe his wife, didn't like some things that happened at Vacation Bible School. I didn't know it, but I didn't find out by hearing it from person to person through the grapevine. I found out when that man wrote me a letter. And actually, it was a nice letter. And he said some things, and then he said, listen, he said, I have some concerns about some things that happened at Vacation Bible School. And he said, my concerns are 1, 2, 3, like 4 or 5, maybe 6 things. I don't think it was over 5, really. 4 or 5 things. And then there was the most amazing paragraph that I think I've ever read in a letter from a man that had a problem. He said, I'm writing this letter so that you'll have time to think about my problems. And whenever you're ready to respond, just give me a call and I'll come to your office. Oh, wow. So a couple of days, gave some thought to it. I called him up and said, hey, brother, I got your letter. If you can meet. He said, I'll be there in 10 minutes. And he came. We sat down and we chatted for a little bit. I said, okay, here, let me address these. Number one, you know what? I really can't do anything about that. That's our policy. That's what we do. I'm not going to change that. And here's why. He said, okay. I said, now, number two, I didn't know that was happening. I'm not there every night. Some cases I'm out of town preaching. But that shouldn't go on. If that went on, I'll check into it and that'll be changed. Number three, same thing. Number four, I can't change that. Number five, I'll see. I don't think I can change that, but I'll check into it. Okay? He said, great. Thank you very much. That's all I needed. I said, well, do I need to talk to your wife? He said, no, I'll take care of that. We had prayer and he left. Came to church next Sunday with a happy smile on his face. You know what you call that? You call that the opposite of mumbling, murmuring. You call that manhood. You call that sitting down with somebody, looking them in the eye, or writing them a nice letter, say, hey, look, man, you ever thought about this? Giving a guy time to think about it instead of just coming in. I'm telling you, look. I didn't write the list. I didn't put the list together. I read 2 Timothy chapter 3, perilous times, boasters, proud, lovers of themselves more than pleasures more than the lovers of God, and incontinent and fierce and heady and high-minded. And I read unthankful right in the middle of that list. And it's like, really? And I read idolaters and fornicators and tempting God and then murmuring. And it's like, really? But it made the list. And when you take your Bible, and you go back to the record of the children of Israel in the wilderness, which is what this is talking about, there are three things they murmured against. God's provision, God's possession, and God's power or authority. So, hey, church, Paul says, don't go there. Don't go there. Stay out of idolatry. Stay out of fornication. Stay out of tempting God, blaming Him for things that you're guilty of. And stay away from murmuring. This low-toned, under-the-table. Is Stay away from it. Because with many of them, God was not well pleased. I feel the ouch. Ouch. I feel the ouch. It's so easy right now as Americans to murmur against the interruption to our routine. So easy. It's easy to murmur against some of the expectations that God has for the Spirit-filled Christian life. And it's so easy sometimes to murmur against the authority that God's put in our life. And God says, no, stay away from that. Not good. Murmuring. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you'll help us now. Please take this to heart tonight. And Lord, this really, boy, packs a punch to me. I guess I'm capable of anything. Yes, I could be an idolater. I'm capable of fornication, God forbid. I'm capable of tempting Christ, and I am certainly capable of murmuring. Maybe more so than idolatry and fornication and tempting Christ. It's just so easy to grumble when things don't go like we want them to, when we feel like it's too much. So God, help us not to murmur. Give us a spirit of thankfulness and gratefulness. Help us, oh God, to avoid this sin that made the list. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. Pastor, somewhere throughout the course of the message tonight, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. I do not want to fall into, I don't want to be overcome, overthrown. Idolatry, probably not going to happen. Fornication, hopefully not going to happen. Tempting, but I don't want to be overthrown by murmuring the sin that made the list. God spoke to my heart about this tonight. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand in the air? Be honest about it. Be honest about it. Yep, 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 yep. And I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you. One of the most amazing things is Romans chapter 1. When you get down to the very bottom line reason, those people became reprobates. It really started with unthankfulness. They weren't thankful. Thankfulness is the cure for murmuring. It's the cure for complaining and griping. God, help me. God, help me. Oh, that's my prayer tonight. That's my prayer as I put this message together this week. God, help me. This message hurts. Ouch. God, would you help us tonight? Help us, please. In Jesus' name. Let's stand together, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies will play the invitation song. You move as best you can to the altar tonight. Make an altar out of your seat, your chair. Turn it over to God tonight. Let Him help you with it. Spend a little time being honest with the Lord, talking to Him, beseeching Him, asking for His help. With many of them, God was displeased because they were overthrown. Idolatry, fornication, tempting God. Look what made the list. Murmuring, complaining. They had been delivered from the land of Egypt. I've said so many times, anything above hell is a blessing at the good hand of God. We're saved. We don't have to worry about hell. That's enough right there. But look how much more God gives us. Boy, help us to be thankful, Lord. Help us to be grateful. Father, we love you. Help us tonight. Give us a grateful heart. Lord, help our minds to concentrate and center on the good blessings that you've given us and the things that you do for us, most of which was saving our souls. God, help us to live free of murmuring. I pray in Jesus' name and amen.